Welcome to Speaking for Yourself. I'm Jason Whitlock. That's Marcellus Wiley. Coming up, we'll tell you if Kevin Durant's free agency will be a distraction for the Warriors.
And if LeBron is the most important figure in black culture. Yeah, I just said that. But we start today with a Whitlock. What you got today, big dog?
I got Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman ran into a burning building last night looking to save the women and children. The Green Bay Fire Department pronounced Sherman dead at approximately 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. According to the local coroner, cause of death was Aaron Rodgers' inhalation. Rodgers and Davante Adams were on fire Monday night. Rodgers threw for 425 yards. He connected with Adams 10 times for 132 yards and 2 touchdowns. On the last and defining possession of the game, Sherman decided he'd try to put out the fire. He moved into the slot to cover Adams. Y'all ever see the movie, The Towering Inferno? It came out in 1974. Paul Newman, Steve McQueen, Faye Dunaway. It was a classic about this 138-floor skyscraper in San Francisco that caught fire because an electrician cut corners. Steve McQueen's character saved the day by blowing up a water tank on top of the building. Richard Sherman tried to be Steve McQueen last night. Sherman pulled it off for one play, and then he got caught in a plot twist. Instead of the Towering Inferno, the final drive turned into Backdraft. You remember the ending of Backdraft? Steven, the hero of the movie, dies in an ambulance at the end.
Smoke.
The refs double-crossed Richard Sherman. They flagged him for illegal contact on third down, wiping out a sack and breathing new life into Aaron Rodgers. You know what happened next? Aaron Rodgers led the Packers to the game-winning field goal. The question is, do you blame Sherman for trying to play hero this late in his career? Eric Mangini does.
Looking at it on TV, it looked like he patted his chest and said, I'm going to go take this guy. And then the other guys were scrambling around like he was going to call a shot. He was going to handle the problem. And then he goes inside, and he handled the problem, all right? He handled it for Green Bay and gave him a first down on third and 15. If you're going to go call your shot and you're going to go against what everybody else is doing and what you practice in that situation, then you better hit it out of the park.
I completely disagree with my friend Eric Mangini. Great suit, Eric. Rodgers and head coach Mike McCarthy made a decision Monday night not to throw at Richard Sherman. He was an uninvolved bystander for most of the night. That had to be a game plan decision. The Packers liked other matchups. By lining up opposite Adams, Sherman took away Rodgers' favorite target. Somebody besides Adams was going to have to beat the 49ers. I believe Sherman's caping up contributed to the sack of Rodgers. I want my most experienced and decorated defender to want the responsibility of Rodgers and Adams. I believe Richard Sherman died a hero last night, slain by Aaron Rodgers. Sherman was not a past his prime superstar choking on his own ego or a victim of shady officiating. This is a whodunit, guys. It's a murder on the Lambeau Express. Who killed Richard Sherman last night? Aaron Rodgers, the refs, or Sherman's ego? 1-3, Marcellus. Who are the suspects? How do you rank the suspects?
Oh, man. Word on the street, I'm a suspect. let me start here and end here. God, this is Compton on Compton crime right here. But it's Richard Sherman's ego, man. And Mangini started to say what we all should know about professional sports. We're well-conditioned athletes. We're accustomed to our rituals. We're accustomed to what our behaviors are, what we practice on. So it's not just Sherman, you can lock down Adams for a few plays or this drive. It's now I'm out of position. Now I'm scrambling. And we saw earlier in the game when they were in a diamond set, only two corners ran over there for four receivers. So this is already a team trying to find their way against a team that they're supposed to lose to. And they were overachieving. So for three-plus quarters, Richard Sherman, we didn't need that. We didn't need that. It was working the other way. And then you just totally transformed what our norm was. And as a result, Richard Sherman, watch what you ask for because you just might get it. And what he got was a guy out of position. Not only physically, not only beaten off the line on the play, but out of position in terms of where he is right now recovering from his injury and where Adams is. Watch on the play. Adams took off, had Sherman beat on the first move. Sherman tried to respond to that, And then he had him beat on the second move. And in that position, you hold a guy because you realize this is big stakes. I don't want to give up the pass. Hate to be this guy, but Sherman is the reason why that drive stayed alive and they lost that game.
Hoosh.
Nah, I disagree with
okay.
that. Okay. When you're of Richard Sherman's caliber, you want that responsibility. The drive before, Devontae Adams was eating up whoever was on him.
Yeah.
Richard Sherman said, I'm the best corner on the team. I got him. If the coaches ain't going to do it, I'll do it. Because he's proven himself since he's been in the league that I can shut down the best receiver. It just didn't work out that time. It is what it is. Devontae Adams, he's no slouch.
Right.
You can call, if you call that illegal contact, you can call illegal contact literally every pass play in the NFL. He touched him. He didn't tackle him. He didn't really grab him. He put his hand on his chest. No big deal.
It impeded his progress. And as a receiver, you would not want somebody doing that to you as a receiver.
Now, if I'm a receiver, of course I want that call. But I'm a fan of football.
Yeah.
I don't blame the refs at all.
If Richard Sherman is not covering Devontae Adams, they up and down the field. You saw the drive before. It was easy pickings, very easy.
Yeah, I do think he took him away pre-snap.
I think competition at its finest, right? As a competitor, as one of the best players out there, you want to crunch time decision, you want to make the plays. You want to be on the best guy that's been basically dominating the whole game. So he put himself in that position. I think that, you know, obviously things were going well somewhat for him on the other side.
Right.
But he wanted to be in the right position to be able to make the right plays, and he tried to step up for his squad. Unfortunately, he got flagged.
The previous drive before that, when Richard Sherman was in a slot on Adams and he ran that deep over route, Aaron Rodgers looked to go to him. Richard Sherman was undercutting. He held the ball. So that's one play. It happens.
Yes.
I mean, Devontae Adams gets paid a lot of money. I would hope he can win some.
Cliff, though, if you in that locker room, you in that defensive locker room today watching film, mm-hmm. and he had done that, he put himself in that spot, and it blew up in his face, how do you feel as a defensive teammate?
I'm still looking at him as competition, you know, because he's seen what Adams been doing all game long. If you watch the game, they only targeted towards Sherm twice that whole game. So he's like, all right, well, I'm a man up on this guy, see if they want to try me. I would have just took it as, man, he's just trying to make a play. He's trying to do the right thing by his team.
I respect all that. You act like I gotta now not be friends with Richard Sherman because he lost the game. Look, I'm sitting there, and if I'm looking at Mason Crosby when he played against Detroit, I'm still your friend that week after, to the point where now you have the fairy tale ending and you win the game the next week. I'm not mad at Richard Sherman, but when we see our schedule, we know we have a game. It's in Green Bay. And then the next thing that happens is actually a game plan. Mm. Oh, you know why we have a game plan? Because we should stick to this, and this will give us the best chance for success. And it was working. Here's the thing about what I learned from football that taught me so much about life, the microcosm of football, as people say. When you're a football player, you know this. When you get fatigued, when you're not conditioned, when you're not prepared, when you're out of your norm, that's when issues occur. Just like in real life. Think about it. Richard Sherman been doing his thing over there, and other guys felt comfortable doing what they were doing. Whether it was working or not, they felt comfortable. And Richard Sherman took everyone out of their comfort zone and had this domino effect. And like Mangini said, you got to hit it out the park then.
Okay, but Marcellus, I felt like Richard Sherman being a student of the game, having played that whole 58 minutes and looking at them go away from him.
What comfort zone did he take them out of, though? Like, you got to... DB, cover your
guy. I think he took Aaron Rodgers out of his comfort zone because they had made a pregame decision we're not really going at Richard Sherman.
Definitely.
And so when he lines up against Devontae Adams, I think that takes Devontae Adams off the table, and I think that's one – because the sack was a bit of a coverage sack.
It was, definitely.
And so I felt like he took Aaron Rodgers out of his rhythm.
Devontae Adams had more than half of Aaron Rodgers' completions that game. So he was – this is your main receiver – I'm going to force you to throw the ball to somebody else. I applaud him for that's what you want. That's what you want.
As a competitor, that's definitely what you want. But the thing, too, with Sherman is they always asked him, why does he cover the best player on the team? He always plays the left side. Why doesn't he always – that time he was like, he's going to show you he can do it. Unfortunately, it just didn't work out that one play. But this Mack and Gard, he can play with the best of them now.
Y'all answering it for me. That means ego. You know why? Because that voice inside you.
Everybody got an ego.
Everybody.
Yeah, everybody playing got an ego.
And please don't let it lead you down the tunnels in which Richard Sherman. Here's the thing. Sometimes when your reputation precedes you, you try to live up to something different than your reputation.
Yeah, you know
so he
funny?
Got caught in that trap.
We acting like he just got told. Like, he didn't play bad. They called a penalty.
No,
on
no, 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 no. But he
played well.
He did change the game now, and ego will make you make some bad decisions.
Yeah. They think I'm soft. They think
everybody
I can't
Everybody that's a professional athlete has an ego. For everybody.
Sure. The great ones control it, though,
right,
and channel it in the right direction and don't get out over their skis. Now, again, I like the decision. I think he died a hero, but he died. And so,
He did.
The next time he's in that situation.
Come on, Sharif, he did.
The next time he's in that situation, don't let your ego get out of control. Realize, hey, man, I'm not the same 23-year-old perennial Pro Bowler.
So what do we say if he makes the play then? What if he bumps down and he does what he needs to do? Are we talking about that?
If I was 100 pounds lighter, I'd be able to go. All right, welcome back. Whitlock and Wiley, Cliff Averill and TJ Houshmandzadeh are back. Let's move to some big stories, starting in New York, where Odell Beckham Jr. is still making waves, and they appear to have reached all the way up to the owner's box. After a lot of back and forth over Odell's ESPN interview last week, which was not cleared by the team, owner John Mara just called out his $95 million wide receiver.
I wish he would create the headlines by his play on the field as opposed to what he says and does off the field. I think he needs to do a little more playing, a little less talking.
This is foolish by the Giants owner. They just stepped into Odell's arena, the reality show arena. Listen, they made a mistake, in my view, in giving this guy a long-term contract. He showed you exactly who he was. Odell's not out of character in any way. He's an attention seeker. He's a reality TV star. He's doing interviews with Lil Wayne sitting next to him. He's exactly who we thought he was. And they've just stepped into his arena by calling him out in the media.
Nah, I disagree with that. Look, the owner, John Morrow, has been in that arena before him. Even let's go back to last year. You talk about how the media is used as a weapon, how public perception, public opinion, the court of public opinion is used for or against you. John Morrow sat there and allowed his organization to bench one Eli Manning and then let the media as a weapon change his mind from what he knew was the right thing to do. So now he's like, Odell, if you want to play that game, I'm well-versed in it. Let's play it. So now Odell is trying to play that game, and John Mara is smart to use it against Odell because talking to Odell one-on-one has gotten you this far, and seeing Odell around his teammates and apologize to his teammates has gotten you this far. But how can we get farther down the road? How can we move this ball down the field? It's by applying this pressure to Odell, letting you know all them likes and followers, they ain't all on your side because I'm the owner and you have to respect what I'm saying.
Wow. I'm not looking at it as they made a mistake in giving him the contract. They did make a mistake in giving him that contract. And the reason is they don't have the team around him that can justify why he's made. They don't have the quarterback. They don't have the offensive line play. When you give a receiver that type of money, that's like your last push to make a push into – they don't have that team around. Eli Manning is not that quarterback, and he hasn't been a quarterback for – Odell Beckham he's being himself. Don't get mad at me for being who I am. I'm speaking my mind. I've showed you, like you said, who I am. When I show you who I am, believe me, because I'm showing you. They don't have the team. You look at it, he's averaging over 84 yards a game. He's not playing bad. He just doesn't have a quarterback that can get him the ball consistently. And if you can protect Eli, he probably would be a little better, but not much.
No, I agree. So I think the big thing with Odell is he's been himself through this. When he wasn't making that much money and now he's making a lot of money, he's been himself. So I don't see why people have an issue with it. I don't see why the organization has an issue with it other than the fact that they're losing. When you're winning, they let everything
go. That's
sad.
When
you're winning, they let everything slide. But when you start losing, now we need you to calm down. And then it's such a fine line between passion and anger, right? When he's scoring touchdowns, everybody's geeked about it. He's happy. Everyone's happy. But as soon as he doesn't feel like he's playing well and he shows a little emotion, now it's an issue. And I don't agree with that.
But again, the interview wasn't on the field. And that was off the field. That was a calculated decision, and I'm going to stir the pot. I'm going to sit here with Lil Wayne. And what John Mara is saying, which I blame John Mara, you gave him $100 million. That's a license for him to do whatever the hell he wants to do. And Odell Beckham Jr. has shown you I'm going to do whatever you want to do.
On every team, and we know this, there's four or five guys that can go to the head coach whenever they want. There's four or five guys that can pretty much – when Odell did that interview, all he was saying is what everybody in the locker room thought. They're just scared to say it, and they can't say it. That's all that was. It's there's.
They gave him $100 million though to be a partner and a leader, not a guy that stirred the pot.
Yeah, that's the problem I have. You
stirred the pot.
Y'all talking
he's
like
leading.
Y'all talking like Odell could just have open forum to whatever he wants because he's been doing this. But who too much is given, much is expected. When your titles change in any workplace, guess what? Your responsibilities.
And that's
change.
What he did. He took the responsibility to say what he said.
There's different ways of leading too. Now
it's different ways of leading, but let it at least be in an accord with this organization. Can we be on the same page somehow as one of our leaders heavily invested in you? You guys know this. Look, I respect all my teammates. I respect my coaches, even when we disagree. But there's one person I need to listen to. And I don't say that in a yes, sir, no, sir way. I say it like there's two names on every check. My name and the dude who's about to give me that money. And guess what? I at least got to come to that guy, whether it's in private. And if I didn't get his respect in private, I'm not going public. And to me, Odell is trying to speak to an audience that is not his supporting audience. It's coming from upstairs down, not from these guys who now turned on Odell, some of them, and said, apologize.
See, they
but you're speaking for me?
They know that they know they need to replace Eli. Management, they see that and they know that now. They didn't want Odell coming out saying that.
Yeah.
They see, like, ah, we messed up. We probably should have drafted one of these quarterbacks instead of Saquon Barkley. They can't do anything until next year. They know that now, and they just want Odell to be quiet about it because they see we done messed up.
But they benched Eli last year.
But again, when they give you $100 million, they should have the reasonable expectation we can get through this season without you going off script on us. I'm John Marr. We sat in the room. We had a conversation. I'm giving you $100 million. It can't be I'm going to lead my way. We got to be on the same accord once they give you $100 million.
But the thing is, you can't expect someone to change once you give them some money. Who he showed he was the first 4 years is who he's going to be even maximized a little more.
This offseason, Odell had a conversation with John Morrow. This offseason, Odell, who said he was not coming to anything extracurricular, OTA, et cetera, what was Odell doing? Showing up to every single thing. I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to be on the same page.
Until he gets checked.
And then he got
but he goes back to being himself.
And guess what? Now I'm going back to where I've been.
You know what's so funny?
Like, the media weapon.
This is just me. He's not doing anything wrong. Like, he's not breaking the law. He's not doing anything.
That can't be the standard, just because you don't break the law. Like, again, he's got a job.
He's speaking his mind. Like, if he thinks Eli sucks, why can't he say Eli sucks?
Because they're not paying him for that. They're paying him to catch the ball.
That's his opinion.
Now, then he should take a job here and do this.
When he probably will.
He should do this. I'll switch places with him.
Listen.
Give me the $100 million and I'll go play wide receiver.
Yeah, you look like the rest of the receivers.
But you still have an opinion. Why can't you voice that?
Because they gave me $100
million. I've been on teams where we've been at halftime of games. Guys that don't even play, and the guy know who I am if he's watching it, would straight up tell a guy that's starting, you suck, why are you playing?
I get
during
it.
Halftime of
you
the game.
You said that to Chad Johnson?
if you can play,
what about I gave you $100 million? Do I need to see you hitting your head on a fan to show everybody that you care more than all the other players? Well, you know you don't. But they care as much as you, but they know how to act.
But that's how competition gets the best of
them. Yeah, that's how he shows his emotion.
Man, that's the reality. That's a production.
No, see, I'm surprised.
On,
he's a defensive player.
Desperate
when you get
house
mad,
receiver.
You just go headbutt the lineman.
Yeah, but I know when we losing the game, I'm not going to take it out on the bench. He ain't blocking me.
That's desperate house receivers, man. That's desperate house receivers.
Oh, man.
To a big AFC North story where the Steelers and the Bengals kept their cool during their latest showdown Sunday, but that didn't stop some Steelers players from going after arch nemesis Vontaze Burfict. Mm. After the game, calling for him to be suspended for elbowing Antonio Brown's head, the play wasn't flagged, and while the league is reviewing it, Burfict isn't expected to be suspended, nor should he be. If you can't throw an elbow in football, they need to quit this game. Vontaze Burfict did nothing wrong on Sunday. I watched every drop of that game. He played a physical football game and controlled himself. The Steelers' offensive line needs to shut their mouth and quit all this whining.
Great.
They won the game. Vontaze Burfict did nothing.
Uh-oh.
He yelled at Juju and told him, you next, and that's damn well what he's supposed to do on a football field.
Look. Whoa.
That's what he's supposed to do.
I mean, look, I am not here for all them extras. I'm here to play the game, ball out, and go home and come back and do it again. That's not football you're talking about. You're talking about message football. And message football is something that a lot of times
voluntarily, we don't want to play. But you know what? If you want to go down there, you're going to have to drag me with you. But once I get down there, oh, I'm coming, and I'm coming with a crew. And the NFL does not want to hear that. And players don't want to do that, because what it turns into is getting cut blocked on a play that's across the field just because a guy got to send a message. What does it turn into? Oh, the play is dead, but it's not dead to me. So what you're doing is enabling a culture.
It's an elbow, man.
Hold on. Elbow. Oh,
it's
you know,
elbow.
My elbow is lethal. You know what? It can. If I catch you right here in the ear hole, what? You gone,
knock him out.
It's targeting. I just am not here for that. I didn't sign up for that.
I think the big thing with him is his past history, with this team in particular, right? Because he's had these issues in prior games, and he's known for being that type of player. I don't think there's room for that in football, in the NFL in
general. You got a problem with that elbow? No,
I got a problem with people out there trying to hurt people and taking their livelihood.
Was that elbow dirty to you? You wouldn't do that?
I mean, not purposely. I mean, I'm throwing my shoulder in there.
Yeah, that's all he was doing.
Elbow is connected.
Oh, come on now. Don't do that, TJ.
This is my thing. Like, the Steelers, man, it's like, they're a good team. Will always be a good team because of the way they're ran. But when you betray your own teammate, what they did to late, I'm not surprised by anything now that the Steelers do. They betrayed their own teammate. They sold their own teammate out. So, Vontaze Burfict needs to be suspended. That does not surprise me because you sold your own teammate out. Anything they do from here on out does not surprise me because of the way they did their own teammate.
Snitch.
So how you think they gonna do somebody else on another team?
So hold on, y'all, you don't believe in second chances. So if somebody did something wrong, they're forever, they're damned. I mean, I'm not going there. Look, I get that argument isolated in a vacuum.
No, he called them snitches is what he called them, Marcel.
Well, hold on.
He has no respect for that. They snitched on Le'Veon, now they snitching on
Vontaze. Okay,
Spend Vontaze.
Okay, we need to
Juju
stop.
Juju Smith stood over top of Burfict last year and taunted him after knocking him out.
And there's no room for that either, though.
Yeah.
Did anybody say he should be suspended?
No. I defended Juju. It was one of the greatest hits. I was glad he did it. I wanted to buy a T-shirt because he had the T-shirt. And so Burfict comes back and taps him with an elbow.
Oh,
I got no problem.
Oh, that was not a tap. At that speed, with that size, that mass coming at you is not a tap. We need to stop in this world, in this society, calling the wrong things weak. Stop saying snitching and you're weak if you tell the truth about something, if you say what's right. This is unethical. This is not what we sign up for.
Yeah.
That simple as that, because I know where it goes to. You're talking about that moment. But that starts to avalanche into other things, because guess what? We need to respond now if you don't handle this as an NFL.
And I think the biggest thing is we have, like, as athletes, when I'm on the football field, I have respect for the other guy that I'm going against.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not out there trying to take his livelihood out of his head. Now, I'm trying to bust your head. I'm going to try to get after this
quarterback. Oh, you're trying to bust
your head. I'm not trying to hurt you, though.
But there's
a difference.
You would have apologized.
I had respect for you.
We all know there's a handful of guys, they're just different. they're just different. They think different. They're going to play hard. Like, Vontaze, I guarantee he's just, I'm playing hard.
Yeah.
And some people view it as dirty to him. I'm playing football.
Y'all know
I'm just
dirty.
Shocked this is a controversy. That's football, man.
Man, hold on.
That's
like he said, I'm going to bust your head as well as I can within the confines of the rules.
Yes.
Within this box of the rules, I'm about to blow you up. Okay. Now,
what should he do? Just run right on by?
No, bring your body. Bring whatever's legal in that moment.
If you bring your body, now you bring in the helmet.
And we didn't see the helmet targeting first. So the helmet comes in with the elbow.
He almost knocked his own guy out.
He actually did hurt his own guy. He hurt his own guy in this process.
This blows my mind, man. This, because there's a certain kind of snitching that I agree with you in terms
of.
Hold on.
I'm not going to jail for you, Witt.
No, I'm not going to jail for you. But I'm just saying.
You did it.
Anything Burfict did here. And what Le'Veon did, that's all within the confines of the game. You know what you signed up for. And so this kind of snitching about Le'Veon's contract, and now I'm running to the principal's office, suspend him for playing football. Did the Bengals say suspend Juju Smith?
Hold on. I'm only going to the principal's office if you did something wrong. Now, hold on. I'm that guy. Don't hang with me. I'm telling you straight up. If it comes down to me going to sleep, if you put me to sleep and it's against the rules, but I got to sit there and take it so y'all can be my friend at lunchtime tomorrow, forget y'all.
Yeah.
I'm going straight upstairs and tomorrow I'm eating by myself. That's how it's going.
Don't play football.
I did play football, and I knew when I went too far, and he went too far, and he knows it too. but he's a habitual line stepper. That's what he does.
It just boils down to guys just respecting.
I don't even like Burford. I really don't.
You sound like
but my God,
yeah, you
gotta let him play football, man. It's football.
All right, welcome back. Whitlock and Wiley. We're joined now by a couple of NBA champions, Steven Jackson and Dante Jones. Let's move to the NBA, where the regular season tips off tonight with a couple of games, including the Warriors hosting the Thunder. Golden State is looking to three-peat this season. But most of the talk coming into the year has been focused on Kevin Durant's future. Owner Joe Lacob says he's, quote, not worried about Durant's impending free agency. And I think it could actually help motivate Durant. I think Durant is going to come into this season trying to supplant LeBron James as the greatest player in the NBA and trying to set himself up to have the decision 2.0. I think this season and this impending free agency decision is going to bring out the best in Kevin Durant. We're going to see him play at an MVP level again.
Well, I think Durant's always tried to supplant LeBron James. LeBron's just not taking the crown off as easily as desire. Think about it. Years ago, when he was in OKC, talking about, I'm tired of being number two. That was always the quest to try and get LeBron and to move to Golden State and the championship run and the two MVPs in the finals. That's been his mission. But I'm with Joe Lacob. I'm not worried. I'm not stressing because he's been on one-year deal since he's been here. Mm-hmm. Nothing's changed in our environment. As a matter of fact, this is a good thing for us because now we have a Boogie Cousins on our team. And 2 years ago when we had David West, this team was more engaged. Last year, they even said it. We didn't have much to play for in terms of the normal regular season because everything was already as is. We just went out there ready for pay time, money time. So I think this is going to make them more engaged through the regular season.
Never said, though, that he was going to test free agency. He's put a little pressure on himself. How do we think he's going to handle it?
History shows us that everybody takes a step back to keep this team together, to keep this train rolling. I don't think Durant will make a different decision. I think when it's time, he'll make a decision to stay there. These guys been winning. They've been winning championships. He's a two-time finals MVP. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I think they'll figure a way how to keep it together.
I think it's a distraction. And I think it's a distraction because he won't declare what it's going to be. If you want to hit free agency and you want to put this behind you like Kyrie did, Kyrie came out and said, you know, I'm coming back. Don't worry about anything. We're going to figure it out. We're going to figure the money out. But both people, Clay and Steph, have said, I want to find out what my value is on the market. Mm-hmm. And that is a distraction because the whispers create dissension, and it's just going to keep snowballing, just keep asking and asking. Everybody's going to be thinking about it at the back of their mind. It's going to be a subconscious little nag the whole year for their team because they know the pressure of this thing may break up. And the may of it may breaking up is going to be a small distraction.
Well, isn't that different? Like, okay, so LeBron, I can see how that really hamstrung their organization.
It did. It did for the Cavs last year.
You couldn't make the moves you desired because no superstar said, I'm going there for LeBron to depart. And internally, what are we supposed to think? Do we have plan A with LeBron, plan B without LeBron? But it seems like Golden State's in a different place. Like, everyone wants to know their value, but everyone feels more valuable staying put. And that's what the history has shown us of recent times.
The people that could be out of this, you can't really replace. Clay and KD, what's the replacements on the market? Because the management is going to have to say, you know what, what's our plan B and what's our plan A? Plan A is to keep them. Plan B if they decide
to leave.
You're
not going to lose both of them.
But, okay, but if you lose one, how do you replace Clay? Jimmy Butler may be there. Kawhi may be there. I don't know if one of those two would want to go there and do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you can't really replace Clay as a two-way defender, a super efficient shooter, second-best shooter in the game, third-best shooter in the game. Mm-hmm. You can't replace him. And, KD, you can't replace the best scorer in our game. But the plan B is going to be tough because the market is going to be different because guys are going to try to find their own home and not jump on that Golden State Warriors.
If I had to take a player out and leave KD and Steph and just put guys around them too, you got a great chance. So just in case Klay left, it wouldn't be bad. They still can win championships without Klay.
You think so?
I know so.
I think.
But you still got two MVPs. The MVPs are still there.
You're absolutely correct. But the guy who doesn't get enough credit is the guy who takes on all the defensive challenges.
And so what if Boogie stays?
He takes.
Draymond is just defensive.
But the best part about them is they got three lockdown defenders. They got Klay, who's probably the best in the game right now, one of the top best. Iggy, who doesn't get all the credit, and Draymond, who can guard the bigs and switch on everything. Their ability to switch is what makes them dangerous. And you take one defender out of that, it takes a chink out of their armor, and it's going
to
be tough.
I want to circle back to y'all seem to be discounting the fact that Kevin Durant has shown to have the thinnest skin, perhaps in professional sports. And he's now created a drama and a conversation around himself that's going to go on all year. We've seen LeBron James handle that. LeBron is built differently than Kevin Durant. And so I'm saying I think Kevin Durant's going to handle it, but I think he's going to handle it by being more about Kevin Durant this season. I think he's going to play a little differently, a bit more selfishly this season. I think that it's going to help him, but I think it's going to hurt the team.
Is it sensitive, or is it the term that we use is that he got time? He got time to respond to everybody. I don't think it's sensitive. I just think anytime a celebrity or somebody of that caliber takes the time to respond to idiots and egg avatar people, then he's being sensitive. Yeah. No, he just got time today.
He's highly
and
engaged.
That's all it is.
I'm glad
he's
you said engaged.
That's all that is.
Because you know what's crazy? All right, so the reverse of that is when people walk up to you and they just have a normal conversation, you're waiting in line at the post office, wherever it be, and they leave and they think this is a compliment. You're so down to earth.
Right.
What the hell you expect? Like, if I cut, I bleed too. You want to keep going? Like,
exactly.
It's amazing they flipped that on you. And then Kevin Durant is just like, you can't shoot at me without me having target practice back.
Exactly.
And it's not going to be fair because I'm shooting from up high and I'm punching down. But I'm sensitive. No, do better in yours and you won't take it so that way. So
exactly.
I'm with you, man. I'm tired of us calling him sensitive when he just got time to hit you back.
Yeah, he's highly engaged. He's one of the most highly engaged superstars right now that we have, who spends time on social media, who cares about what people say to him. And he's taking the time to let people know that I'm not the punching bag. You're not going to just come at me. I got more followers than you, and I will embarrass you. And sometimes you have to do that and step up to the plate.
Yeah,
I want to balance this conversation. I like Kevin Durant. I really do. But to sit here and everybody say he's not sensitive, and this is going to sound like I'm cracking a joke, but it's just real. Man, he got Rick James tattooed on his body, and we sit here.
You reply back, and people say something crazy to you, they come off cuff and don't know what they're talking about. You reply and give them some knowledge sometimes. And sometimes you have to sit back and teach these people what they're talking about. As you do, you're more eloquent with your words. But KD, just let them know, like this is not what it is, and you ain't gonna talk to me like that. And I'm that dude.
And half of them not speaking facts. Half of them don't
they
know
just
KD
say anything.
Stats. They don't know if he won a championship or not. They probably think he another player. Yeah. You know, I had players call me Stackhouse on Instagram. So half the people on Instagram don't even know who they talking to. They just want to get a compliment and try to be famous. That's all.
And why do you have to get to a place where you accomplish your goals? You're Kevin Durant. And now you have to be despondent to that. You have to be above that.
Right.
My grandma
played
that.
I'm not despondent.
If they say something, you say something. And we going from there.
Yeah. I can't come up with it in the moment. But I'm not sure all of his responses were above the fray. All of them didn't convey that he was, you know, he was unbothered by the comments. Mm. Dude, when you got fake burner accounts,
that's
a whole other topic.
He ain't sensitive, but he got a fake burner account.
I don't think the burner's for the sensitivity, though.
Ooh.
I don't think the burner is, not all for the sensitivity. Right, I don't think the burner is for that. The burner is so I can exist in and not have to be held to.
I put my name on everything. I put my name on everything.
You will, but I got everything. But he got big money associated with his name. So, that's how you mitigate your risk.
We all have that desire to be anonymous sometimes, just to kind of flow through. You know what I'm saying?
The term I want to use, I'm going to wait to the next question.
I'm going to wait to the next question.
I got burner email accounts for my shadiness. All right, welcome back. Whitlock and Wiley. Steven Jackson and Dante Jones are still here. As you guys know, I'm a journalist, and we've got our resident Ivy Leaguer here, Marcellus Wiley.
There we go.
Thank you.
So we're putting on our thinking caps, and we're going to take a deeper look at some of the big issues in sports. All right, come on, Darnell, bring out Marcellus's thinking cap.
Darnell, what you got on today, though?
That's that
Warren Central. That's Warren Central.
I had a question.
Hit him with that.
You gotta educate me sometimes.
Yeah. The best high school in the night.
Steven, are you comfortable right now? Are you comfortable?
I graduated high school.
What junior college did you graduate from?
I was only there 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Yeah. That goes to show you education is overrated.
None and done. All
right. Overrated.
None and done.
Let's move to LeBron James on the latest episode of LeBron's The Shop on HBO. Drake is incredibly deferential to King James, admitting that he asked LeBron for guidance and approval on how to respond to a diss track by Pusha T and Kanye West, and explaining why he chose to take the high road and not respond at all.
I wanted to do other things. I didn't want to further your reputation or your career by rapping back at you and having this exchange. And that was it for me.
Drake texts you and like, am I letting you down?
Yeah, what did I tell you?
What did you say to him?
You said that I can never let you down.
I said, listen, as a hip-hop historian who loves hip-hop, I would love for you to respond.
Of course, mm-hmm. We want to hear it.
I did, by the way.
Because you're the greatest.
By the way, I did, yeah. By the way.
Yeah.
You wrote the song.
I did, yeah. And I said terrible things.
Yeah, I said, I want you to respond every time. I said selfishly, in all caps.
Yeah. Yes, you're selfish. Yeah.
I said,
because you
want to
hear it.
I want you to know one thing. We're family. You're a brother of mine. You could never, ever let me down, ever.
All right, for me, that was a very weird dynamic given the fact that LeBron is not in the hip-hop world. Drake is managed by Birdman, the modern-day Suge Knight. Also, for about the past 20 years, rappers have been at the top of the black culture food chain. Jay-Z and Beyonce have been the first family of black popular culture. Jay and Bey were friends of the Obamas. But watching Drake with LeBron made me wonder if there's a cultural shift happening with the black athlete reestablishing himself as the head of black popular culture. It seems to me LeBron James is now the king of black popular culture, supplanting Jay-Z.
Hey, it's B, not Bay. It's B. Get a name.
Don't do the queen
that
like
hive.
That.
Do that not hive do the queen like that.
Woo. I'm sorry.
Texas.
I'm sorry.
It's B.
All right, Marcellus, we'll start with you.
Get it right.
You're right, David.
Is there a cultural shift here? Am I right?
I don't think there's a shift. I think we're returning to form. Thank you very much. Let's talk about what the form is. Athletes have always been the most respected in our culture. Why? Because we're in the meritocracy. You actually beat somebody. You actually faster somebody. You actually dunked on somebody. Where everything else becomes this subjective experience. Oh, that sounds better. That looks better. And in a world where we're talking about fashion, sports, and music, which is culture, athletes have always been the most respected, but not the most revered. So it takes a time. Look, you go out with a musician, good luck trying to get some love if you're an athlete, because the musician's going to win. You go out with an actor, good luck trying to get some love in the parking spot when you're out there with somebody of that celebrity. However, this is a time, like when Jordan was winning, when we have a tug of war. Like, there's actually an athlete up there with a Jay-Z. So when it's a tie always goes to the athlete. I think we're returning to that place.
I think there's a shift here. And Steven, I'm going to go to you because you're in the hip-hop world and you've been in the athletic world. I feel like for the last 20 years, Jay-Z has been at the top. And LeBron is, in my mind, justifiably, and, you know, maybe it's not intentional, but I'm glad he's supplanting Jay-Z.
Well, I can't really just say Jay-Z been at the top, because when you speak of the culture, it's a whole bunch of faces that make the culture.
Somebody's at the top, though.
I can't
of anything.
Everybody's needed. Everybody's voice makes the culture. It's not one person or one face that makes the culture. I'm sorry, but this is the truth. Jay-Z, Puff Daddy.
Well, you have leaders.
You got athletes. That's at the top, but it's not one person.
I can understand.
It's not one person.
Ali wasn't at the top.
Jordan wasn't at the top.
Jordan was not at the top.
Really? No, I thought in the 90s you couldn't be bigger than Jordan in terms of culture.
Jordan is the biggest basketball player to date with shoes and everything, so that's another level. Mm-hmm. But as far as the culture, Jordan has never been the leader of our culture.
Oh, well, I hear where you're going
so
with that.
I understand what Whitlock is trying to say in the fact that LeBron, because he covers so many areas of the culture, most rappers will not go into politics and into the youth and into the rap world in general or into sports. They just handle their own field. And LeBron is trying to step into the rap game and trying to associate with rappers and show love and show support all the time to rap, his favorite rappers and to music in general. And then he's broadened his scope out to entertainment and all things that are involved in our culture right now. And our culture has expanded over time. And I think he is the one that can cover most of the realms of the culture. So that's what Whitlock is trying to say. And I have an appreciation for it, but I think he's probably one of the major voices, but it's a collective effort in this culture.
I think too, people gotta understand that people respect success. People respect money. So when rappers and basketball players get together, it's a mutual respect.
Facts.
Especially from coming from nothing to reaching the top. Now, LeBron is different from Jordan and other players because LeBron, you can see LeBron, he's made the money. The money didn't make him. Mm. You know, he's perfect example. Playoff game, working the playoff game in the finals. LeBron is warming up. He stops his warm-up to come speak to me. He ain't got to do that. I guarantee if it was Kobe or Jordan, they wouldn't have done that.
LeBron is humble. He's a different type of superstar. We've never seen a superstar like LeBron. So that's why you see guys like Drake gravitate to him, because they can open up to him. He's not those superstars that hide from that need security. He's not one of those guys. He's very transparent. That's why I think people love LeBron. They respect him so much because he's not the average superstar.
But Stephen, you know, part of your point where I just completely disagree with is I don't think at this time LeBron James will be anywhere caught on camera asking another man, "You remember when I texted you for your approval, and what did you say to me?" That kind of deference from Drake to me signals something. Because I'm telling you, 10 years ago, they would have put out a video of all the athletes going and bending a knee and kissing Jay-Z's ring.
I disagree. That's a
fact.
That's his homeboy.
I think you took
that's the whole show,
though. A little bit out of context.
He kissed LeBron's ring.
No, he didn't. What he did was he someone he could respect and someone that understands what he's going through and someone whose opinion that he hold in high reverence. And I think that's what he said when he asked him, like, am I tripping? That was kind of like, am I tripping by not doing this? Do I need to respond? He needed somebody he could sound off that had the same amount to lose, could understand the position that he was
you're
in.
You're not my brother if you're going to lead me to a dead end and throw me off the cliff.
Give me
a good advice you would give your son.
Give me the game.
And that's all that is.
Because you got the same perspective from the
top. I got genuine love. I'm going to give you a real game. I, like he said, I can easily tell you to go respond. Yeah. But why do that?
Yeah,
I see the bigger picture.
You don't see any deference there.
But you're using Drake, and this is where I think it gets exaggerated. Drake is not the necessary gauge to show there's been a change of guard.
Who's at the top of the rap game right now?
Oh, Drake. Yeah, but I'm going to talk about Drake the person, and this is not a shot, but this is just reality. Drake is an outlier in terms of what he's been through. He even said it. He's like, man, my experience is different than all of you guys' experience. He said, I walked around with the bad shape up in part because I couldn't go to the shop because I grew up in a white Jewish mother-raised family, and my father wasn't there. And then all of a sudden, I get into this game, and I'm just surrounded by people that I thought were heroes. So what Drake is, we call it fanboy. And I respect fanboy because I'm a fanboy now that I'm retired. Drake will walk up to a Kentucky basketball game, Toronto Raptors game, walk up to Serena. Well, hello. Walk up to
give out $1 million on his video.
$1 million video. Conor McGregor. Like, he's like, and it's a thing on Instagram and Twitter that Drake is like bad luck. But the reality is he big ups everyone. So when he goes to LeBron, it's one, his boy, but two, he's like embodied that. Like, I'm not going to sit there and act like you're not big in your own world.
Right. He shows genuine love, and he puts all his cards on the table, and it shows. And his ability to be genuine is something I respect about him,
because
he doesn't care about other people's thoughts. But to be able to ask somebody's opinion who sees the world like you see it, to be at the top and to see and to look down
Steven,
and to see the whole picture, I thought that's what he was doing.
Let me ask you this. I'm stunned by your take on this whole deal. Mm-hmm. What's Birdman thinking? When he sees his guy, he made Cash Money Records. Drake,
that's
to me,
bigger than him right now.
Drake to me treated LeBron like he was Birdman. We haven't seen that.
But do you think that he's having conversations with Birdman about life and what he thinks he should be doing?
You know what's crazy?
Like, I don't think that's the
crazy
person that he's going to check on about life and to be socially responsible in what he has to do.
But
I don't think that's what he's doing.
Why is it a problem, Tate, that two guys showing mutual respect? And then I wouldn't put Drake at the top. If you know anything about hip-hop now, it's a whole bunch of people at the top. Migos at the top. It's a lot of people at the top right now. You can't just put one person.
Nah, Steve, don't do that.
I'm telling you.
Steve, don't do that.
Who's filling up arenas?
Yeah, I went to the Migos Drake.
They put up arenas,
too. I went to the Migos Drake concert.
Who on tour together?
Them two. And who comes out together? Who comes out first?
No question.
Migos, because
you got to give it to the man.
Wayne's at the top.
Drake is
so many people at the top.
Oh, Wayne's my favorite.
If Hov was the MJ of his time, Drake is LeBron James.
Yeah,
James,
man.
Of his era. Like, he doesn't miss. Like, he's always on top.
He got seven dates in L.A.
He's not the top by himself.
He got seven dates in L.A.
You know what I just reached for? You ain't been on since I brought this Twitter off. And I'm starting to get concerned. I'm starting to be concerned about you. Are you concerned about who's watching this and you're going to disrespect somebody?
Little
Wayne just texted you. What? Who are you trying not to disrespect?
Shout out to Wayne. Wayne, that's been my partner. So this
who are you trying not to
disrespect? This is nothing new. All right.
How are you going to sit here and tell me that LeBron James right now, he's making movies, he's got television shows out the yin-yang, he opened a school, And now I'm looking at Drake, the biggest star in hip-hop, mm-hmm. basically go kiss his ring. You don't watch The Godfather. Man. You don't seen people kiss the ring, and that was kissing the ring.
And he didn't go to another...
This goes to show why it's hard for you to show mutual respect and give your brother
To Jason's
because
point,
of this person right here.
Look, if you were the biggest rapper, Drake, why don't you go to the other biggest rapper, which is Jay-Z?
Who are y'all to say who I got to go to?
No. He's saying...
Because I may not have that relationship. They have that type of relationship. They spend time together. They
talk.
So he just had a situation with another rapper who's in competition with him.
Right.
And Kanye, and he said and showed you how that broke down by going to him. Like, going into your own profession is probably harder than...
It got diffused by his own profession. It got diffused by rap a lot and by everybody in that lane. I understand what Jay-Z...
He probably wasn't the only person he checked in with, too.
Maybe a better conversation is Jay-Z. Why isn't Jay-Z in that position that LeBron is in?
He called Jay Prince.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And that's rapper to rapper. That's rap industry to rap industry.
Somebody else.
He crossed over and went to the athletic sphere, which is to Jason's point of, does that mean that no longer Jay-Z is the god of our culture, the Hov? It's like, is LeBron that guy? And that to me is more interesting.
But we was watching the show.
We don't know if he did or not.
We was watching the show, Whitlock. The show is called The Shop. We was watching the show. He was talking
on the show. It's just a little piece of the evidence that LeBron James is now at the top of black popular culture. It's a piece of evidence. And I can't believe you, as a former basketball player, I can't believe you can't see it because, again...
Not by itself.
I'm going to tell you the point that I thought you was going to make and we talked about was, again, you know why LeBron's at the top? Because LeBron's making the most money. The music...
But I said that.
No, you didn't.
I said you respect money,
but he's making the most money because the music industry has died. It has died. They're not making the kind of money they used to make.
You don't even know who Lil Baby is. He making millions. You don't even know who that is. You don't even know who Lil Pump is. He making money. It's a whole bunch of little rappers you've never heard of.
Whoa,
millions.
Just because they making money don't mean they making LeBron
money. But what's the point
in
rapping for?
Just because that don't mean they making LeBron money and what these athletes are making now. And that's great. Look, man, Tech N9ne and I have been friends for 20 years. He's making $7-8 million a year. He ain't on LeBron's level in some of these
millions
athletes.
Millions is millions.
There's more money.
No, don't do that. Millions ain't millions.
Hey, it's the whole evolution of our culture.
Millions is millions.
The culture is the culture.
What you got?
Is directed by social media engagement, money. It's different things that to be involved in how you control the culture or how you be at the top of the culture.
Right.
And some guys have some of those categories filled, but nobody has it filled
like
LeBron.
I was playing devil's advocate, but Jason is on to this point. And the black historians will tell you this. In the 60s and 70s, if you were big, athletic, and said, I have some athletic pursuits, you went where? Boxing. Why? Because the heavyweight champion of the world was the crown of the culture, right? Muhammad Ali and others.
Yes.
That changed in the 80s when basketball started taking over. Why? In part because they started making more money. Magic Johnson's lifetime contract, and that started to surpass what we saw in boxing. Then that all of a sudden changed with the rap game in the 80s, 90s, and Snoop and all them guys. And we were like, wait a minute. Are the rappers making more money than the basketball players? And they certainly have more freedom because they ain't got to be in shape, and they could travel the world and do this thing. I think Jason's point is in alignment to that. Are we back to where basketball has trumped?
Football, too, is sports and athletics are back on top. And we didn't even get to the other part of the conversation that I want.
No, it's money there. It's money there. But you think Drake is making LeBron money?
No.
Steven, stop it.
I didn't say that.
Okay, I'm just asking.
Stop. And there's a bunch of other ones.
Success.
Steph Curry.
We all successful.
Yeah, man.
Kevin Durant. All these dudes.
But Bron is everywhere you turn on a TV. He's on HBO. He's on ESPN. He's on Fox. He's every topic every day.
Yes.
And once he speaks and once he does things, the world opens up. Nobody else likes. But nobody else has the coverage like he does.
But Steven, you don't count money.
All I do is defend him.
Like, do you guys? If you have kids, you're counting people's money. You know why? Because when my kid is getting to that age, that's my child. Oh, no. But the reason why you count money, because you want to say what options are out there and what's it going to bring you back in terms of resources. We do count money. If so, I hear too many parents and former athletes and teammates say, man, my son ain't playing volleyball. I'm like, why?
Ain't no money.
Well, ain't no money. So now we
don't. That ain't why my son ain't playing volleyball.
You know what?
I can't. I tried to save it. I tried to get you.
I say golf. It's not as much money. It's not as much visibility.
Steven.
The man got shoes. He's selling tickets right now, selling jerseys.
I love you,
and brother. And he on stage with Drake.
You a hell of a man. I'm glad we participated in this conversation. Love you. I'm right and you wrong.
See what happened when you ain't got his number? See what happened when y'all ain't texting no more?
Y'all know what time it is. I'm Dante. It's time now to put Marcellus on the spot and get to some of the hot button issues of the day in a segment we like to call Tell Us Marcellus. Let's start in the NFL, where Aaron Rodgers led the Packers to yet another comeback win last night, putting up 10 points in the final 2 minutes to take down the 49ers. As usual, the media lost their minds over Rodgers' performance. But tell us, Marcellus, were you as impressed with Rodgers as everyone else?
I wasn't, and I don't want to be Donald Downer. I get it. It seems amazing, but one, you shouldn't be in that position in the first place if you're the Green Bay Packers. That's a one-win team out there without their starting quarterback, their franchise quarterback. So I used to always laugh when our teammates would get love and our quarterbacks, oh, man, he's Captain Comeback. I'm like, but why are we down after three? You know, I used to always sit there and just get caught up with that. But something was revealing about watching Aaron Rodgers last night, and it's his leadership. And his leadership comes into conversation, if not question, because he's feeling the pressure of being the best player without the best resume. Like, he's the best player, but then he looks at that one championship and he looks at his two MVPs, and I think this comparison is getting the best at him. Why do I notice that? You watch him. He talks to his teammates and he talks at them. He talks down to them. When he messes up, overthrows them, whatever it is, no conversation. When they mess up, it's a teaching moment every single time. And that's revealing because I think Kobe Bryant described that in his growth in leadership, and he had to get out of that world. He had to get out of using those methods, because if you can't level the playing field as players, you're not going to get the best out of me, no matter how grand and great you are. So Aaron Rodgers' leadership comes into question.
Aaron Rodgers was phenomenal last night. That comeback was phenomenal. It was a great performance by him. I can't say anything negative about his performance last night. I think you make some interesting points about his leadership style, and that may be something he has to correct. All right, to New England, where the Patriots banned a fan who threw beer on Chiefs wideout Tyreek Hill after a touchdown, but apparently that wasn't enough to satisfy Hill. According to Adam Schefter, Hill and agent Drew Rosenhaus actually want the fan to be prosecuted. All right, tell us, Marcellus, is Hill going too far here? Does he look petty?
No, he doesn't look petty. It's amazing to me that we still call stuff like this petty. One, this is a workplace issue, man. You can't be going up to somebody's job, just throwing beer on them and dipping out. Like, that doesn't happen. Respect the player's conditions and respect that field. But beyond that, why this isn't petty, think about it. He's trying to do the right thing here. He's like, this can escalate. I can have a response. NFL, protect me from myself, protect this fan from this situation that can obviously escalate. So it's not petty. We do this too many times in our world where we call the right thing petty because we're trying to prevent the wrong thing from occurring going forward. So no pettiness.
I would be careful here if I'm Tyreek Hill. And I get where he's coming from. But as a Chiefs fan, and so Tyreek Hill has a history of mistakes as well that extend well beyond throwing a beer on somebody.
True.
And so football has given him a second chance. And look, the court system dealt with him and all that. And so I get where he's coming from. Let the courts deal with this guy, and maybe he'll learn the same lesson as I did.
No. I'm gonna give him a chance for a second chance. That means here's your first infraction. I'm gonna make sure I prosecute this to the fullest. Then you get your second chance.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So I get what Tyreek is doing. Maybe this fan needs to go through the court system the way that I did. It took that for me to learn a lesson. But I would just be careful, given his history, where we are in America, if sometimes love and forgiveness go farther than persecution. And so I would just be careful. I get where he's coming from. It is a workplace issue. He shouldn't have to deal with that on his job. But you got to be self-aware as well and understand who you are in this space. All right, welcome back. Social media time here on Speak for Yourself. Time for Darnell Smith, our social media manager, to educate us on what's going on out there in the crazy world of Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook. All that crazy stuff that I don't like.
Vine still around?
Vine, nah.
Vine's not there.
I can tell you old, Marcel.
I had stock in it, too. I had stock.
All right, Marcel, Darnell, what do you got?
Oh, man. Let's start off with Aaron Rodgers.
Let's get him.
Who had social media buzzing during his epic game-winning drive last night to beat the 49ers. But it wasn't just fanboys tweeting about Rodgers' incredible night. Check out this tweet from Lions running back LeGarrette Blount. That was some real greatest of all time stuff by Aaron Rodgers. Now, we all know Blount won two Super Bowls with Tom Brady in New England. You think he's throwing some shade at his former QB?
Shade? That's hard to read into.
No, that's shade.
That's goat? Shade with Lions.
Like, it's a synonym for Tom Brady right now, goat. And you use that same word, the same phrasing, for somebody else who's in the conversation slightly.
Monday night, off day, LeGarrette Blount might be having one. And just talking off the top of his head, man.
Come to Cali, it's legal, boy. Do you. Let me go there. I think this is shade in part because LeGarrette Blount, 2 years with the Patriots, knowing that Tom Brady has the sway to make it 3, 4, 5 years and didn't make it that. And LeGarrette Blount's like, look, I was your red zone guy. I was the guy to get you the short yardage, your touchdowns. You couldn't go to bat for your boy. So maybe he was looking for an opportunity like that. That was my theory.
Maybe speaking a little too blunt here. Darnell, what's next?
Moving on to an interesting story from college football here. Ohio State defensive end Nick Bosa has decided not to return to the Buckeyes this season after getting hurt in September, opting to leave school entirely and focusing on the upcoming NFL draft. Bosa was a preseason All-American and is slated to be a top draft pick in May, much like his brother Joey was in 2016. Pro Football Talk reacted to the news with this tweet. Nick Bosa has made the kind of decision that more guys in the situation should be making. We've seen guys skip bowl games to prep for NFL before, but this is pretty unprecedented. Should more players follow this strategy?
No, they have to be as talented and as can't miss as Nick Bosa.
Right.
Nick Bosa is a beast.
Yes.
His brother is the ultimate beast,
yes.
Joey. And so this is a no-brainer decision for him when you're this gifted and talented and can't miss. For other guys, it's a little more dangerous.
Yeah, it is, I mean, because they're not in his position. But college, especially college athletics, is just preparation for the real world that you desire. Once you're prepared, peace, get up out of there. I had that same injury, and it's crazy. One of my regrets is not pulling a Bosa when I was in that same situation. It's a weird injury, the sports hernia, and you could come back in 6 to 8 weeks. You're not coming back to the same place. You're gonna start somewhere else. He gets back on that field, he's not Nick Bosa. They start using that against you. So I wish I would have redshirted my second year in San Diego and just came back the next year with that same exact injury. So he's a smart player for doing this.
Darnell, what's next?
Yeah, I wanna hear your guys' thoughts on the John Elway story. TMZ reports that Elway has donated more than $27,000 to various Republican campaigns for the upcoming midterm elections. Elway's politics have been well known in the past several years, where he has personally supported President Trump and one of his nominees for the Supreme Court, Neil Gorsuch. But the latest news led to Bleacher Report Mike Freeman to tweet, stick to sports or no? Shut up and dribble or no? It's confusing sometimes. So here's our question. Is there a double standard for players and management getting involved in politics?
No. There's a double standard on Mike Freeman, and he must have skipped high school, junior high, college, the whole nine yards. Look, man, if players want to donate money to political causes, no one cares. There's no controversy. It would be applauded. I keep saying, take the money and support the causes you believe in. This isn't going on in the middle of the national anthem. This isn't something that's being put in the face of fans. The guy has a right to support whoever he wants politically.
Yeah, like you said, it's not thrown in your face. So even in that situation, I don't understand where Mike's coming from, but I told you I'm going on this podcast. I am going to discuss this
with
him.
Would you please take this Twitter off with you?
Yeah, I know,
that's
right?
That's his whole brand right now.
You know what's crazy?
Trolling.
One of my best friends voted for Trump and didn't tell anybody through the election process because he was scared of the backlash in our circle. When I found out, I was like, dude, I wish you would have told us because we could have discussed issues as we were all trying to educate ourselves through that process. And he's still one of my best friends. I'm not mad at him. This is the problem with our world today. We disagree. Then now all of a sudden, that has to mean I dislike you, which means I got to distance myself from you. Come on, y'all, grow up. It's not a problem with this.
Yeah, I've never voted. But I've certainly have been friends with some Trump supporters. I've been obviously love some Obama supporters or whatever. your politics don't make or break you a good person, and we need to stop that.
Yeah, but you need to vote. I mean, we need to stop that.
Yeah.
That's what we need to stop. Can you stop?
Darnell, stop what's next?
Last but not least, you know my everyday routine is watching FS1.
Yesterday,
I was checking out The Herd, and our man Colin had an interesting take on Sam Darnold versus Baker Mayfield. Take a listen.
Baker's 2 years older than Darnold and has almost double the college starts. Baker should be better now than Sam. I predicted Sam would be a roller coaster. Right now, completion percentage, touchdown interception, yards per attempt, passer rating wins. Darnold's working with less, a defensive coach, and frankly, he looks better.
Does Kyle have a point here?
Maybe. He's in love with Sam Darnold.
Yeah, yeah.
And the farther Colin gets away from me, the less I'm there to reel him in when he goes off on one of these tangents. I'm going to have a talk with Colin. He's so in love with Darnold. It's too early to decide Darnold or Baker.
Yeah, I'm with him. I prefer Darnold to Baker. But that said, the age experience conversation, look, collegiate experience can only take you so far, and your birth certificate takes you nowhere. So I'm not going to go in and say, you 2 years older than me, you're supposed to be better. That's not how it works in the pro game. I think Sam Darnold just gets it. And I thought coming into the draft, he was one of those prospects that was going to hit the ground running because he gets it. He has that moxie. So respect to him, but not because of age and all that.
All right, today we're talking about Richard Sherman.
Sherman.
Who had a penalty late in the fourth quarter last night that helped Aaron Rodgers engineer a game-winning drive. I actually have Sherman trying to be, I actually like Sherman trying to be a hero last night.
Mm-hmm.
I have Sherman at all-star level at an overall 71, Marcellus.
Mm.
Job performance, I have him at a 16, not quite at the level he used to play
at. That one play, and it expounded on it.
All-time greatness, I have him at a 21.
All right.
Character at 20 and authenticity is where he's really down for me in terms of he's a bit of a social justice warrior. I don't like his hairstyle at the moment right now.
What?
His hairline.
His hairline what? Yeah. Too crispy?
It's time to cut that. The dredge and all that
the locks
off.
Locks gotta go?
He's too old. The hairline doesn't
locks
fit.
Locks ain't got an age on it, does it?
It really
what
does.
What about a cavada? So whatever.
You remember when Jerry Rice tried to have a corn over?
That's a bad lock.
Yeah. Again, he had them bad dreadlocks. He turned into a corn over or whatever. Richard Sherman, if he's not careful, could be headed there. So I got 71 total all-star level.
Nah, not enough respect paid to him. Richard Sherman is one of the ambassadors of the game. So he has a higher approval rating from me. I give him a GOAT status at the 80. I tell you why. First, let's look at him job performance. I got him in the same world as you. Coming off the injury, not necessarily the same guy. All-time greatness, though, still got to respect the 3-time All-Pro, 4-time Pro Bowler, and the most picks since he came into the league. Love for that. Let's talk about his character. Very high. Compton to Stanford, making all the right choices and prioritizing.
Ego just cost him a game, according to you.
Yeah, that's why he's not 25.
Ego just cost him a game, according to you.
Yeah, I get it. He ain't 25. He ain't perfect. He ain't go to Columbia. So, and then authenticity, 19. Sometimes he does look for that smoke. I get it. He won't smoke on Twitter. And he's my boy, but he be wanting that smoke. And me, I be doing this to a lot of the smoke. So respect to him, though. Still an ambassador of the game and a GOAT.
Are you aware? Would you have gone with a 19 authenticity had I told you that he blocked me from his Twitter feed?
Whoa, I didn't know that. He was scared of it. What was you doing on it?
I've never tweeted.
Oh, that voice went too high for you to say
nothing. I've never tweeted a word about Richard Sherman.
I've never been in a fight before. Somebody and they meant nothing. They meant something.
I've never tweeted, as far as I remember, tweeted a word about Richard Sherman. Seems a little sensitive.
No, you know what? People always think that when you delete a tweet or something like or block, it means you're sensitive. It means I'm tired of you and your circle and this tweet keep coming back to me. So you know what? Get it out my face. Mute button, block. I wouldn't block you. I just mute you so you wouldn't know. See, if I muted you, you wouldn't know, right?
I'm the mute king. I'm the mute king. I love the mute button.
I love the mute
But again,
too.
I'm just telling you, Richard Sherman hasn't even been part of my universe.
You did something with
I promise you.
Look back.
I'm sure they got people checking my Twitter feed right now. But I defended Richard Sherman. You said his ego cost him the game.
We got
last
a real
night.
Friendship, though. We can go there.
He blocked me on Twitter.
I'm going to find out. I'm going to hit him up.